From WKAR's Studio S at Michigan State University, this is Current Sports.
What is up, beautiful people? You are now tuned into WKAR's Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin, on this funky Friday. That's right, it is Friday, February 26th, 2016. We trust that you all have had a great week. The weekend is near, though. You gotta love that, right? Well, we plan on closing out your week here on the show with a bang. Later on today, we will invite Dale Beard, who is the assistant coach at Lansing Everett for the boys basketball team. And if that name rings a bell, Dale was actually Magic Johnson's point guard back in the day when they won the 1977 high school boys state championship. Yeah, Dale and Magic are pretty tight, and he's doing some remarkable things with this year's Viking squad. We couldn't get Dale on the TV show due to the weather, but we've got him on today's show, so you don't want to miss that. We will also talk about Jim Harbaugh taking a shot at a certain coach at Georgia. You don't want to miss that. We'll also give you a preview of the weekend Big Ten men's basketball action, as well as hit you with Reflection Friday, and we will invite Jason Ruff to the show as we talk hockey in our 2 minutes for Roughing segment. All of that and so much more. If you want to be a part of today's show, you know that number, 517-355-9527, 517-355-9527. You can also go to our Facebook page at facebook.com/currentsports and even tweet me at Al Martin WKAR. And we'll also be giving away a pair of tickets to check out the MSU men's basketball team as they take on Penn State this Sunday. That and more. But hey, here are your quick hit headliners. All right, in their last game of the regular season, the number 20-ranked Michigan State women's basketball team welcomes the number 5 Ohio State Buckeyes to East Lansing and the Breslin Center tomorrow. The Spartans are coming off a 71-43 victory over Illinois on Wednesday night, with Ariel Powers leading the way while becoming the school's all-time leader in double-doubles. Ohio State is coming off a disappointing loss to Minnesota on Wednesday. They were upset 90-88 in OT on a last-second shot by Minnesota sophomore guard Callie Wagner. Wagner's been fantastic this season, folks. The game, tip time, 2 p.m. tomorrow, will be broadcast on the Big Ten Network. We'll also be giving away a pair of tickets to that game as well. And the Penn State Nittany Lions come to East Lansing this Sunday to take on the Michigan State Spartans in Big Ten action. The Spartans are coming off an 81-62 victory on Tuesday over the Ohio State Buckeyes on the road in Columbus, Ohio. The Nittany Lions pulled out a 56-55 dub over the Nebraska Cornhuskers on Thursday. The game will take place on Sunday again at noon on the Big Ten Network. Former Michigan State tackle Jack Conklin participated in the NFL Combine on Thursday. Conklin turned in one of the fastest times for linemen in the 40-yard dash, running unofficials of 4.98 and 5.03. His official time was 5 seconds flat, still among the fastest among linemen. Conklin attributed this to his workout regimen in California after the year ended, dropping, get this, 10 pounds. Quote, just was working on the speed aspect, working on the 40, getting a little quicker, fast twitch stuff. Also did a ton of bench to get my reps up. Conklin is 6'6", 308 pounds, and projected to go in the first round. So 308 pounds, and he's running about a 5-second 40. That's pretty impressive. Very impressive for Jack Conklin. All right, Eagles assistant linebackers coach, now former Eagles assistant linebackers coach, Brian Smith, is expected to join Michigan staff as the new defensive backs coach. How about that? Smith is familiar with new defensive coordinator Don Brown, who was his defensive coordinator at UMass when Smith was a player. All right, folks, the 5 finalists for the 2016 Michigan Miss Basketball Award have been announced by the Basketball Coaches Association of Michigan, better known as the BCAM. The 5 finalists are Cassidy Bonich of Bay City John Glenn, Mardrika Cook of Muskegon, Saya Frazier of Detroit Renaissance, Kersey Gondrzik of Benton Harbor, of course, the sister of Cabrera Gondrzik, who balls out for the MSU women's basketball team, and Alexis Sullivan of Goodrich, BCAM will vote on the finalists and announce the winner on March 14th at 1 p.m. at the Detroit Free Press. Good luck to all of them. They have all been outstanding this year. The Detroit Pistons look to extend their winning streak to 3 games tomorrow night as they take on the Milwaukee Bucks. The Pistons are coming off an impressive win in Cleveland, followed by an impressive blowout victory over the lowly Philadelphia 76ers at home. The Pistons' depth will be tested as forward Stanley Johnson will miss the game with a right shoulder sprain, and forward Anthony Tolliver is going to be out for the next 2 to 4 weeks. Of course, Stan Van Gundy announced that Johnson will be out at least 2 weeks. Tomorrow, two of hockey's fiercest rivals face off. Of course, I'm talking about the Detroit Red Wings and the Colorado Avalanche. The two teams will face off at Coors Field in Denver as part of the NHL Stadium Series. Game time set for 8 p.m. on NBC Sports Network. And last but not least, Duke guard Grayson Allen. Yeah, again, in the headlines for appearing to intentionally trip Florida State guard Xavier Rathen-Mays near the end of Duke's 80-65 win on Thursday. It's not the first time, again, this has been caught. He has been caught, appearing to do so. If you remember, on February 8th against the Louisville Cardinals, he was whistled for a flagrant foul for the same offense. Allen had this to say when asked by the Fayetteville Observer. Quote, he wanted to keep playing physical, so I tried to walk away from it as he was grabbing me. We ended up tangling up and falling. Really? Tangling up and falling? All right, Grayson. All right. All right. That wraps up your current sports quick hit headliners. If you want to call in, be a part of the show, 517-355-9527. 517-355-9527. Again, weigh in on social media. Tweet me at AlMartinWKR or go to Facebook.com/currentsports. It's time to start the show.
Screen by Iguodala, another three.
And he's doing it with incredible outside shooting. He's got something here. Let's see what he comes up with.
He goes to the three-point line, and there's another one. Steph drawing all that attention, hanging and finishing. 43 for the MVP. Can he beat the clock from midcourt? Curry, good! He banked it home!
Again.
A player who is otherworldly.
I just think sometimes, I hate to see it when a guard is coming at him and they try to take a charge. It's not going to happen very often.
Steph Curry with 10 threes.
Barnes missed it.
Steph inside, and there it is, 51.
And that is how we start today's current sports. Welcome, welcome, welcome to the show. I am your host, Al Martin. Again, happy, happy Friday. It is Friday, February 26th, 2016. We've got a great one in store for you guys, but there was no other way to start the show today, okay? There was no other way to start the show but to recap what Steph Curry did yesterday. I mean, it was unbelievable. Unbelievable. Glued to my television from start to finish. The NBA's reigning most valuable player doing it again. 51 points. 51 points, 8 assists, 7 rebounds, a 130-114 victory over the Orlando Magic. Golden State now sits at 52-5. Are you kidding me? It actually keeps Golden State one game ahead of the Chicago Bulls' pace, of course, during the 1995-96 season, in which they set the NBA record for wins in a season by going 72-10. It also marked the Warriors' 28th road win of the year, matching a franchise record for success away from the Bay. With 7 weeks still remaining on the season. I mean, you know, many of you out there, I'm sure, are probably getting tired of the Steph Curry talk, okay? The kid is everywhere, all right? I mean, you can't turn on your television without some national pundit talking about what Curry is doing this year. You can't turn on sports talk radio, like right now, without hearing his name at least one time throughout a broadcast, because what he's doing has never been done before. I mean, that's what makes, you know, performances like this so appealing. And the reason why we give it so much attention is because when we haven't seen something done before in the world of sports, the intrigue goes through the roof and it instantly becomes a headline no matter what you're talking about. What Steph Curry is doing, again, has never been seen before. The numbers that he's putting up are setting records, folks. You know, looking at just last night alone, 51 points in 34 minutes to go with 8 assists and 7 rebounds, leading the Warriors past the Magic. In that 51-point performance, folks, he took just one free throw. 51 points and one free throw? Nobody in NBA history has ever done that before. I mean, it's really just, it's mind-blowing, okay? There was one moment where Steph Curry was so hot that as the quarter dwindled down, I forget what quarter it was, but he just decides to pull up from half court and banks in a three-pointer and just stares at the crowd like, what is going on here? He was surprising even himself, okay? A pinch-me moment even for himself. We've seen nothing like this. I think it's no question. You can't even make the argument anymore. To debate that Steph Curry is not the greatest shooter of all time, even at this point in his career, he still has many years left in the NBA. I mean, to debate that he is not the greatest shooter of all time, you just sound ridiculous, okay? You sound like a hater. Sound like you're sipping the haterade if you're going to make an argument otherwise, okay? Steph Curry, we've never seen anyone shoot this efficient in this amount of volume and become, again, just make it look so easy on a nightly basis. It's ridiculous what he's doing, okay? And looking at, you know, Curry's third 50-point game of the year and his 10th 40-plus outing, I mean, that game last night really took the cake for me because of the angles in which he was shooting. I mean, we've seen Curry just go off and hit, and we all know he can hit from anywhere on the court. But again, he was just in a complete zone. That is rare to see from anyone. Anyone, folks. So to put it in perspective, he's the first Warrior with 3 50-point games in a campaign since Rick Barry did that in 1973, 1974, and the first NBA player, period, to hit that triple since LeBron James and Dwayne Wade in 2008 and 2009, okay? Again, first Warrior with three 50-point games in a campaign since Barry in 1973 and 1974. That's craziness. That's just craziness. It's the fourth career game for Curry with at least 10 three-pointers, which is the most in league history. Those 10 triples last night gave him 276 on the season, putting him 10 behind the NBA record for most threes in a season that he set just last year. And now Curry owns the top three-point shooting seasons in NBA history, as well as the record for most consecutive games with at least one three, which he tied on Wednesday and broke on Thursday. I mean, that's crazy. I just listed about five different statistics that Steph Curry has broken and that he set records for, or at least broken, okay? Again, it's never been done before. But, you know, there's another side to this as well. And an interesting dialogue that I had last night with one of the homies from the D. Rim, shout out to you, dude. We had an interesting conversation about Steph Curry and his effect on the game. And, you know, he was telling me, you know, he's an avid pickup basketball player. You know, he's at the rec all the time. If he's not working, he's at the rec. And I'm starting to see this dynamic as well. When I'm at, you know, when I'm playing pickup basketball at any respective gym, everybody, and I saw this phenomenon when LeBron came out, you know, when Mike was playing, you know, during my early years of pickup basketball, when I was like 8 or 9 years old, everybody wanted to do the MJ fadeaway. But every gym I go to now to play pickup basketball, everybody thinks they're Steph Curry. I mean, I'm getting kind of sick of it. I will say, because this is Steph Curry we're talking about. Steph Curry is not human. He's from planet Pluto, okay? Again, he's the greatest shooter of all time. We've never seen anybody shoot the basketball like him. But when you go to play pickup basketball nowadays, I mean, everybody is just throwing up three-pointers. Everybody on the roster. I mean, it's ridiculous. It's in my opinion, it's really kind of, if you don't temper it, especially, I can only imagine what the pressure is when it comes to youth basketball coaches out there, because kids are watching what Steph is doing, and they think that they're Steph Curry. So they're throwing up threes left and right. Okay, there's levels to this. I mean, Steph certainly had to work on his game day in and day out, work on that jump shot day in and day out to even be able to take that many threes in a game, let alone make them, okay? But when you go to local gyms now, everybody's tossing up just garbage three-pointers, yelling out, Curry! Left and right. I mean, it's really, really irking me. So on one end, it's really remarkable watching Steph Curry, what he does. But I do worry about the future of the game as this phenomenon trickles down to youth levels of sports, particularly the game of basketball. You know, only the game of basketball here, because we're talking about shooting here, because I just feel like guys are just going to start chucking up threes left and right and thinking they're Steph Curry. Okay, no, you are not Steph Curry. Please, please, let's stop. All right, folks? All right, phone lines are open, 517-355-9527, 517-355-9527. I want to invite the man behind the glass, our fantastic engineer of WKAR's Current Sports, Isaac Constance. Isaac, I see this all the time. I was in the D a few weeks ago at Powerhouse Gym out in Novi, and just about everybody on my team was throwing up three-pointers and cherry-picking.
Oh, yeah.
Left and right. I'm like, come on, dude, are you kidding me?
Well, that's the thing. Steph does it in the right way. If Steph Curry was hauling up all these threes and acting like Nick Young, turning around before he missed them and saying, three, every single time, nobody would adore him the way they do. But when people try to emulate him, of course they don't have the skills of Steph Curry. So they look more like Swaggy P than the chef. So it does not look good for the game of basketball when you've got these guys hauling up the three sign and watching their shot not even scrape the rim. So
it's ridiculous.
I'm with you. In some ways, Greg Popovich, he made this claim a few months back, and you and I talked about, is the three-point line ruining basketball? And in some level, yes. I mean, because the fact that all these kids want to shoot, they want to do everything that Steph Curry does, but what they don't realize is all the work that goes into that. Steph Curry, the only reason he can shoot so well is because he can also dribble so well. He runs off screen so well. All of these different smaller aspects of the game that people don't necessarily notice. So it's a weird discussion to have when you're saying, is Steph Curry hurting the game of basketball?
No, he's
but
not.
No, but in some ways, in that one aspect, pick up basketball, in some ways he is.
Well, and it's a catch-22 because Steph Curry's not hurting the game of basketball when it comes to ratings. I mean, people want to see him, and he's so good at it. I mean, Steph can hit those shots. But when it comes to the X's and O's of the game, how the game is played, you can certainly make an argument that it is hurting the game.
Exactly.
Without a doubt. When
exactly.
it comes to appeal, oh, Steph, I mean, it's unbelievable. I mean, people are flocking to their – my mother is flocking to her television to watch Steph Curry. My mom hates sports. She does not watch sports at all. But she loves Curry. She loves, you know, and this is the thing. Curry right now is like the ideal athlete. If you're going to have a face for your league, he's like the ideal guy. He says the right things in post-game pressers. He's got the baby face. He's so humble, even at times, when he's out there playing. I mean, he shows off and does the shimmy, and he's rubbing it in the face of his opponent. Yep. But, I mean, hey, it's a part of his competitive drive. But he's such a good dude. He's got a great family, a beautiful family. You know, I see individuals that don't even like sports, but when they bring up Steph Curry, they bring up his beautiful wife and Riley. You know, he's like the picture-perfect, like, guy of when it comes to branding, the branding of sports. When you look at the branding of sports, Steph Curry is becoming the face of that and how athletes should aspire to be, if you will.
Yeah, he hasn't taken a step out of line. But the other thing about Steph is the way he plays the game, he's not a selfish player. If you look at one player,
I
was thinking about this earlier today, actually, while I was showering. But if you look at one player,
it's nice to know, Isaac.
I said that the wrong way, but I had a late shower. The thing is, it was a long morning for me. I went to the DMV, all of that.
Okay.
So that's the sidetrack. Okay. But anyway.
While you were showering, you thought about
that? That's my place of meditation.
Quote of the day. All right, go ahead.
So Steve Nash, though, inspired Steph Curry's game. Watching the similarities between those two, it's really uncanny. But for a point guard to have to develop like a certain player, you couldn't choose anybody besides Steve Nash, really. The way that guy played the offensive game, the level of efficiency, the ball handling, the passing that he pulled off, and Steph Curry's emulating that, except doing it with that added dose of aggressiveness as well.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what makes him so lethal. He's shooting 46% this year from beyond the arc, taking as many as he is. As you mentioned, they've got about 27 more games in the regular season, and he's only 10 threes away from the record already. It's ridiculous. So he's taking such a high volume, but also hitting them.
The game has certainly changed, and I saw a statistic comparing Steph Curry to Larry Bird and the amount of threes both individuals have taken throughout their entire career thus far. Steph Curry still has many years left to play in this game, but throughout Larry Bird's career, and we all know how great of a shooter Larry Bird was, Steph Curry has already eclipsed the amount of threes that Larry Bird had taken in his entire career. So that just kind of puts in perspective where the game is going. Folks, the phone lines are open, 517-355-9527. We are giving away not one but two pairs of tickets to this weekend's MSU men's basketball game as they take on Penn State on Sunday, and the MSU women's basketball game. They play tomorrow at 2 p.m. It's going to be a 2 p.m. tip, and they take on Ohio State. They take on Ohio State tomorrow at 2. So I guess right now we can start with the women's. I'm looking here at the trivia here. We have our production assistants putting in trivia questions as we speak, actually, to give away these two pairs of tickets. Again, one for the MSU men's basketball game, one for the MSU women's. We'll start with the women's, okay? If you call in, the first caller to call in and get this question right will win two tickets to check out the MSU women's basketball team take on Ohio State tomorrow. Here's the question. What Michigan college did Greg Roy transfer from? Okay? If you call in with that answer, you will win. Hold on.
That's the men's?
I'm sitting here saying, okay. So
Greg isn't a woman.
That's I'm like, hold on, that makes no sense at all. Okay, for the men's basketball tickets, what Michigan college did Greg Roy transfer from? For the women's tickets, Susie Merchant's first Big Ten win as MSU's head coach was against what team? Okay, so again, for the men's, what Michigan college did Greg Roy transfer from? All right. And for the women's tickets, Susie Merchant's first Big Ten win as MSU's head coach was against what team? Call in 517-355-9527, 517-355-9527. Again, we'll be taking your calls right now. In the meantime, let's talk about Jim Harbaugh. You know, we meant to get to this story during yesterday's show, but of course, we started talking about Connor Cook and his draft stock. Is he a first rounder? Blah, blah, blah. So I wanted to bring this up and get this off my chest as well. Georgia coach Kirby Smart, football coach Kirby Smart, was the target of the latest tweet from Jim Harbaugh, kind of taking a shot at the SEC, if you will. Now, Harbaugh on Wednesday wrote on Twitter, quote, "If the Georgia coach is implying any intent on our part to break rules, he is barking up the wrong tree." Oh, that's a direct shot. Direct shot right there, folks. No subtweeting there. Now, that is in response to Smart's comments earlier this week from the McCone Touchdown Club, reported by DogNation.com. Now, Smart's first question was about Harbaugh taking the Michigan football team to IMG Academy in Bradenton, Florida next week for a week of spring practice during spring break. Now, Harbaugh has said that the team will have other non-football activities, and this will allow the players to have 2 weeks off for finals. Michigan will hold 4 practices in Florida, of course, beginning next week on Monday. And this is what Smart had to say, quote, "They are obviously trying to gain a competitive advantage, and that's their right. But I think the NCAA in due time will have to step in. I don't know how it's going to go down. It is going to be interesting to see, though." And again, Harbaugh has been the target for this spring break decision by SEC Commissioner Greg Sankey and ACC Commissioner John Swofford as well. And again, the tweet, "If the Georgia coach is implying any intent on our part to break rules, he is barking up the wrong tree." Now, you guys know my thoughts on this whole Jim Harbaugh situation concerning him taking his team out of Branson, Florida for spring break to practice. It's a recruiting coup. Simple as that. It adheres to the branding that is Michigan football. And Jim Harbaugh, this is the big thing here in this whole thing. And again, Jim Harbaugh addressed this directly in his tweet to Georgia coach Kirby Smart in saying that if the Georgia coach is implying, and I like how he just called him the Georgia coach, he didn't even put his name in there. If the Georgia coach is implying any intent on our part to break rules, he is barking up the wrong tree. The main premise of this whole thing is that Harbaugh is not breaking any rules in taking his team out to Florida for a week of practice during spring break. Harbaugh is fantastic at finding loopholes in the rules and letting those, I guess you could say, quirks aid to his advantage when it comes to recruiting wars. He is simply doing his job. That's what Jim Harbaugh is doing here. His job is to woo recruits, woo top recruits to his program, and win football games. And the only way you win football games at the college level is to have great recruiting classes and develop that talent once they enter your campus. Jim Harbaugh knows that. And again, he's not breaking any rules in taking his team out to Florida for a week of practices at down there. You know, going out of the state of Michigan and going out there and holding practices. With this move, the only reason cats from the SEC down south are upset is, in my opinion, because they didn't think of it first. Simple as that. Simple as that, folks. And I think it's, you know, and again, the proof is in the pudding. I always say that. This is an upcoming recruiting class for Jim Harbaugh that went from, what, like number 40, number 50 last year to number 4 in the nation this year. And we all know about the recruiting event that they held on campus, Tom Brady, Ric Flair, Derek Jeter, absolutely crazy, right? But again, it aids to the branding that is Michigan. I have really no problem what Jim Harbaugh is doing. And I find it, you know, quite comical that he is catching a lot of flack from coaches out there, specifically those in the SEC, because basically Jim Harbaugh is coming in their backyard and stealing, quote unquote, stealing their recruits. Why didn't you think of it? Simple as that. I mean, this is the game. You know, you either get with it or cry over spilt milk. And that's exactly what Mr. Smart is doing here. I like how Jim Harbaugh, from a competitive standpoint, Isaac, is really calling out those that criticize him and doing it in a bit of a subtle way. What did you think of this whole story?
You know, to be honest, I don't think it's much of a story to begin with. I thought both of these were rather tame comments. Kirby Smart saying they're obviously trying to gain a competitive advantage and that's their right. He's 100% accurate.
What does?
He's not saying anything that goes
Captain
against
Obvious,
the University of Michigan. Exactly. Captain Obvious. He could be a Hotels.com spokesperson.
Right.
So he's not necessarily saying any new news. So for Harbaugh to kind of take exception to that, I don't necessarily mind it. I do find it a little bit of a back-to-back disform that he says the Georgia coach.
Love that.
Not actually his name. That's got a little bit of anger and fire in it. But the fact that Jim Harbaugh is really taking offense at this, I think that Kirby Smart more or less is just saying the obvious. And he's saying the NCAA should step in. Maybe they should, maybe they shouldn't. That depends on your opinion on this whole satellite camp issue. But the fact is, I mean, Jim Harbaugh is not doing anything wrong by taking his team to Florida for spring break. And Kirby Smart kind of knows that. He knows that it might be a loophole or whatever, but it is legal under the current rules. And there's nothing wrong with a little bit of beef between these two over that.
Man, it happens. I mean, again, it's just saltiness from Kirby Smart at the end of the day. Again, the SEC is salty that they didn't think of this, and they're worried that Jim Harbaugh is going to come down there and steal their top recruits and gotten kids that they're targeting down there. Simple as that. Again, it's recruiting. This is the way. Do I love recruiting? No, I hate recruiting to the depths of and core of my soul. But at the end of the day, this is the way the game is played. At times, it's ugly. But again, if the rules allow for Jim Harbaugh to do this, then you can't get mad at it. Simple as that. Folks, well, the phone lines are open. Oh, go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, I was going to say, and you and I talked about this earlier. I mean, the best recruits usually come from down south. It's only fair that all programs have an equal shot at them.
All right, 517-355-9527, 517-355-9527. Again, we are giving away a pair of tickets to the MSU men's and women's basketball games taking place this weekend. We've got Jim from Saginaw on the line to try and win the men's basketball tickets. Of course, Tom Izzo squad, they will host the Penn State Nittany Lions on Sunday at noon. Jim, how you doing, my friend, first off?
I'm doing great. Thanks for asking. How are you?
I am fantastic. Welcome to the show. Are you ready for your question?
I am.
Okay. What Michigan college did Greg Roy transfer from? You got the answer?
Adrian College.
Boom shakalaka. The tickets are yours. Congratulations, Jim. Stay on the line. Isaac will get your contact information. I'll give you a call after the show as well, all right?
Thank you very much.
Congratulations. Enjoy the game.
Thank you.
All right, and also we've got the MSU women's basketball tickets up for grab. They will take on at 2 p.m. Ohio State tomorrow at the Breslin. Susie Merchant's first Big Ten win as MSU's head coach was against what team? Call in 517-355-9527. Let's hit our first break. While you guys are calling in, when we come back, we'll be chatting with Dale Beard, Lansing Everett boys basketball assistant coach. That interview and much more right here on WKAR's Current Sports. Welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports. I'm your host, Al Martin. Again, congratulations to Jim from Saginaw. He is our latest winner to check out the MSU men's basketball team as they play host to Penn State this Sunday. Jim got the trivia question correct, and the tickets are his. Again, that trivia question was, what Michigan college did Greg Roy transfer from? And that is, of course, Adrian College. And for the MSU women's basketball tickets, those are still up for grab if you want to check out. Again, if you haven't checked out this team this year. Again, this will be your final chance to do so because tomorrow marks the MSU women's basketball team's final home game of the year. Again, folks, this team is so fun to watch. Ariel Powers, one of the best basketball players I've ever seen in person. If you want to check out Powers and Company, call in and answer this trivia question. Susie Merchant's first Big Ten win as MSU's head coach was against what team? If you call in with that correct answer, again, 517-355-9527, you can check out Susie Merchant's squad, all right? So call in, call in, call in, call in. Also, a really brief preview here. Again, the Michigan State men's basketball team will take on Penn State. This is a game that, you know, I'm reading a few forums left and right. Some people are actually calling this game a trap game, possibly, for Michigan State. Penn State, this is a squad that has won three straight dating back to February 17th, in which they beat Big Ten top dog Iowa. Iowa right now, again, I always say this about a Fran McCaffrey team. They can start off really hot, but don't be fooled. As the year goes on, you know, you're going to start to see some chink in their armor. Simple as that. And Iowa going through a tough stretch of basketball as we hit the final stretch here. The stretch run in the Big Ten year. But again, Penn State was one of those teams that knocked off Iowa. On February 17th, it was a 79-75 win. They'd beaten Rutgers. And then the latest game against Nebraska yesterday. 56-55 win. So the Nittany Lions are on a bit of a roll right now. And tomorrow, let's see here. You got Rutgers versus Northwestern. That's at 2 p.m. You've got Maryland versus Purdue. That's at 4 p.m. Then on Sunday, you have four games. Again, Penn State versus Michigan State at 12. Iowa versus Ohio State at 4 p.m. Michigan versus Wisconsin at 6 p.m. And Minnesota versus Illinois at 8 p.m. So games starting at noon all the way until probably around like 10 o'clock at night starting on Sunday in Big Ten men's college basketball action. And for Penn State, again, 1-3 straight, knocked off Iowa. I mean, this is a squad led by Shep Gardner and Brandon Taylor. Those two combined to score 23 of the Nittany Lions' 28 points against Nebraska in the second half. Gardner with 12, Taylor with 11. Penn State gave up an 18-point lead, though, in the second half, and Nebraska really made things interesting. And Pat Chambers has now tied his record for conference wins in a season. Penn State is now 6-9 in the Big Ten Conference, 15-13 overall. All right, well, let's get to our guest for today's Current Sports. We couldn't get him on Current Sports TV this week due to that pesky snowstorm, so he joins us via telephone. He is now on the line right now, Dale Beard, Lansing Everett boys basketball assistant coach. Dale, how you doing, my friend?
Good, man. How are you guys? How are you guys today?
Fantastic. I'm kind of sour that we didn't get a chance to put you on the TV show. That would have been a great episode, but we've got you coming very, very soon on our television airwaves. So I thought the next best thing, we got to have you on our radio show. So welcome for the first time on our airwaves. How you doing, my friend?
Hey, thanks for having me. Hey, I'm doing great, man. Doing great. You know, I weathered the storm here, and, you know, everything's going good now.
Now, I want to dive into, of course, the Lansing Everett boys basketball team so far this season. Now, you all are right now, Dale, 9-4 in the CAAC Blue, 12-6 in the conference. Dale, what was the overall feeling, though? The overall feeling of the team when realizing that you all wouldn't knock off top dog East Lansing for at least a share of the conference title?
Well, you know, we've been up and down all year, so you know hadn't been playing well, and we've been doing good things, but just haven't been playing well. And you know, East Lansing's tough, and you know, we felt, you know, we had five guys coming back from last year's run that we were on, so we were pretty confident that you know, those five guys can kind of take over some of the slack of, you know, the missing guys. You know, Trevor Manuel, of course, one of the big men we had last year. So, you know, we just kind of like stumbling a little bit most of the year. But, you know, I think we're starting to reach that peak a little bit. So we're hoping tonight against Jackson we can go down there and get a win and start our little journey here getting ready for the tournament.
Now, Dale, can you take us back to February 5th when you all matched up against Steve Finnemore and his East Lansing Trojans. Again, it was a close game. You guys fall by just 4 points. Was that an accurate measuring stick, if you will, to know whether or not this team can compete for a state championship?
Well, you know, yes, it was, because, you know, we knew what East Lansing's got. You know, they got one of the best sophomores, you know, in the state and probably in the country, you know, and Brandon Johns. And so, you know, for us to get over the hump, you know, as per se, you know, we would have to go through East Lansing to win a, you know, conference championship, because they're not in our district this year. So, you know, that was sort of a measuring stick for us. And so we, you know, we learned a lot, you know, from them, and I'm sure they learned a lot from us. So, you know, we picked up a lot of things from them from that game, and we're trying to, you know, apply it to some of the other games we played in. So far it's been working, you know. Some things we just haven't been executing our offense like we should, but defensively and rebounding we've been doing. So hopefully we can, you know, continue doing those things.
And Jamyron Jackson has really been outstanding for your squad this year, Dale. He had 17 points against East Lansing in that game. What has it been like for you as a coach to really see his game mature over the years?
You know, it's been great, man. I talked to Jamyron a lot, and excuse me, and I'm putting back a little bit. You know, when I was at Everett, you know, me and Magic played, and I was a junior, and Magic was a senior, and I'm telling him pretty much when Trevor was, you know, with us last year as being a senior and Jamyron being a junior, that, you know, you have to keep the train rolling. You know, you experienced it going to, the Breslin, and you win in 18 straight games. And you know, he's an incredible kid, man. I just hope the best for him, and hopefully he has a good tournament run. He's got, quite a few D1 schools looking at him right now. And, a great student. He's like a 3.7 student. So, I'm just trying to keep him encouraged and keep him uplifted, and hopefully he'll do that and get to some great college next year.
Can you say what schools are looking at him, or will I get you in trouble, Dale? I'm curious.
No. Actually, the primary schools are Northwood is one, University of Akron is another school, Fair State is kind of looking through the doors at him. So. Those are the primary ones right now, but he tells me he's getting these letters that he can't tell me about. But so I'll find out from him soon.
Yeah, so you don't know where he's leaning right now.
No, not yet. He said he wants to just concentrate on the season now, and then he'll try to figure that out. After the season's over and stuff. So hopefully soon we'll know.
All right. Well, Dale, you guys are at Jackson, as you just noted, tonight. Jackson is 9-9 9-9 overall, 8-5 in the CAAC Blue Conference. What kind of team is Jackson?
Jackson's scrappy. They're not a big team. They beat us at our place earlier in the year here. They're scrappy. They've always had one or two good players down at Jackson. The coach is extremely good coach down there. He coaches them well, and so it'll be another dogfight. But they usually have a pretty good group of kids down there. So we're ready to go down and hopefully get a win down there.
What's it like working with Desmond Ferguson as the head coach of that squad, Dale?
Oh man, it's been awesome, man. When he called me after I got back from Los Angeles, I was coaching out in the D League with Sam Vincent. And I'd gotten back, been back in Lansing about a year, and he called up when he got the job, and he wanted, to try to hire all the Everett alumni, to have the guys have a feel of, hey, we just don't get outside guys. We want to try to get some alumni guys here to make them feel like, hey, we've been through the trenches, before. So it's been great, man. Dez is a good guy, man. He knows his stuff, and he and I talk every day about how we can get better. So hopefully, we can go ahead and make another good run. So, yeah, he's a great guy.
Dale, when coaching this team, how often do you reminisce about winning a state championship, your days playing alongside Irvin Magic Johnson with Everett back in 1977 when you guys won that state championship? I mean, how often do you find yourself reminiscing about the good old days, if you will?
You know what? Every day.
Definitely, right?
Every day I step in that gym, man, it just brings back so many memories, man. And Magic and I, we talk maybe every other day, about, sometime back in the day. But just stepping in that gym every day and just remembering how you couldn't even get there. You had to get there before the JV's game, or else you wouldn't be able to get a seat in the place. And I go there and it's just, you smell the popcorn popping and the crowd, the band going, and it just gets you all wired up again. So every day I think, man, back in those great, great days we had.
Do you remember the first time you met Magic, and how has that relationship blossomed over time, Dale?
You know what? I met Magic. He was going to Dwight Rich Junior High, and I was over at Pattingale, and we played against each other, when we were in junior high. And what got me over to Everett is they changed the boundaries of the school district at the time. So I was supposed to go to Eastern and wind up, I was in the boundary of getting busted out to Everett. And when I got to Everett, walking down the hall, he came up to me and we were talking. And he said, "Hey, man, what are you doing over here?" I said, "Well, they busted me out here." So, well, ever since, he and I just kind of connected, and come to find out, some of our family was from Mississippi, were cousins. So we found out we were cousins.
Really? So, I had no idea. It's your cousins with Magic Johnson.
Yeah, yeah.
Wow.
We're second cousins, man. So, ever since, I was best man's wedding, and we kind of kept, you know, in touch with each other over the years. And even when I was in Australia, played over in Australia, I had him come over and speak at some of my camps over there. And so everything's been great, man. You know, we, like I said, we just talk every day, and not every day, every other day. And just been keeping in touch, man. So it's been great.
Dale, what was Magic Johnson like in high school? And can you kind of describe the hoopla that was, you know, surrounded around him as a year, as his years progressed at Lansing Everett?
You know, he was like, I always describe it like he was like, you know, a rock star, man. I mean, it was, you know, everybody heard about Irvin all over the country. And, you know, just knowing him personally was a thing where I, you know, something I never could imagine happening to me, because I'm going to class with this guy every day, and he was just one of those real wholesome guys. You know, his mom and dad was real, you know, great. I mean, you know, he, you know, they were working family, and his sisters and brothers were great, and so he was just always down to earth with everything that he did. So I could see him being successful like he is today, because of back then. He just, you know, he wanted to be, you know, they gave him a couple names. Big E, he didn't want that. You know, Dr. J had that. So they came up with Magic. And so he said, okay, just call me Magic, you know. So,
love that. I got to know, what was your nickname back in high school, Dale?
They called me Yo.
They called you, what is it, Yellow?
It was Yo, just Y-O. It was Yo, you know, Yo. You know, it's just, it was something I don't know what they even came up with. But they, you know, I guess that was a phrase where, yo, pass me the ball, you know what I mean? Because I was a ball hog, so I guess that's what I came from.
You admit that you were a ball hog back in high school.
I was a ball hog, man, yeah.
that's got to be an interesting dynamic. I mean, you being a ball hog on the same team as Magic Johnson, but, I mean, Magic liked passing the ball anyway, though, right? So that kind of worked
out.
Right,
right. and when I didn't pass it back, he got mad at me. So, you know, he just, yo, pass the ball, you know. So,
gotta
so that was
love
my
that
nickname.
Oh, that is fantastic stuff. Folks, if you're just now joining us here on the show, we are chatting with Dale Beer, Lansing Everett boys basketball assistant coach. Again, Lansing Everett, they will take on Jackson tonight. Dale, before we get you out of here, I want to just ask you, you know, what was your basketball career like after high school? You mentioned how you played overseas. And also, what do you think Magic's legacy to the Lansing community is?
I wound up going to Ferris, graduated from Ferris State, and went up there and had a, you know, great, great successful career up there. Matter of fact, 2 years ago, they inducted me to the Hall of Fame there. And then from there, I went to Sydney, Australia. I played over in Sydney, Australia, and a couple of years in the CBA over in Albuquerque, New Mexico. And you know, kind of found my way into coaching after finished playing basketball. So that's some of the grind that I've been through. And it's been great though, man. And for your second question, man, I mean, the city of Lansing has just embraced Irvin, man, like never before, man. I mean, it's you know, he got a lot of flack years ago about nothing. He didn't give back to Lansing and didn't give back here. And I would always tell people, he and I would talk about it. I said, hey, you know what he did? He gave us two great years at Michigan State, you know, when he could have been in Ann Arbor, you know, with his basketball career. So, you know, though, but Lansing have embraced him, and he's just our golden child here, man, and everybody loves him.
Did that hurt Magic when he would, you know, when he would hear that criticism from those that would say, oh, he's not doing enough back home here?
You know what? No, it didn't. You know, because he knew, you know, what he was capable of doing, and a lot of things, a lot of people really didn't get, you know, as far as a business part of what he was trying to do. And some places you just can't, you know, accumulate business and conduct business like you can in bigger cities where you can do those types of things. And I know they look at what Michael Jordan does in Chicago and what Joe Dumars down in Detroit with the facility down there. So those types of things I think they were looking for. But if you look at the economy here, you know, it's not that kind of economy where that type of thing will go off like that. So, you know, it never bothered him. He just kind of kept smiling and said, hey, you know what? That's still my home. I still love everybody.
Dale Beer, Lansing Everett boys basketball assistant coach. Again, folks, we will have Dale grace our TV airwaves very, very soon. Dale, thanks so much for your time this afternoon, and good luck tonight, all right?
Hey, no problem. Thank you, guys. Have a great day.
You do the same, my man. Okay. All right, let's hit our second break. When we come back, we will put a bow on today's current sports as we chat with Jason Ruff. He has just entered Studio S here. We will have 2 minutes for roughing as we take a trip around the world of hockey and Reflection Friday for you. Don't go anywhere. You are listening to Current Sports. Welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports. I'm your host, Al Martin. All right, well, it is Friday, and right before we start Reflection Friday, we love to invite Jason Ruff, new PA, to WKAR's Current Sports. We invite him to the show to give us kind of a trip around the hockey world. Of course, Jason does a great job with the Big Ten Network. Student U, he is the play-by-play voice for the Michigan State hockey team and will also be doing a little bit of baseball as the weather clears up in the coming weeks. But we love to bring to you a segment entitled 2 Minutes for Roughing. Here we go.
Detroit penalty number 52, 2 minutes for roughing.
Oh, my God. That's unbelievable.
Jason Ruff is in his house. Jason, how you doing, my man?
I'm good, Al. How are you doing today?
I'm doing fantastic. All right, take us around the hockey world. What you got for us?
Well, first off, I'm here to eat some crow because Michigan State picked up the sweep, or the double dub, as you might say, against Wisconsin last weekend. I came on the show last weekend and said I didn't think either team was good enough to sweep the other. Turns out I was wrong. Michigan State, a huge sweep on the road, their first sweep of the year 2016. The Spartans are 3-2-1 in their last six. They are off this weekend. They've got Minnesota next weekend at home.
Certainly a good time to rest up, Jason. How surprising, though, was that sweep for this team this past weekend? I believe it's their first of 2016.
Yes.
But their second of the overall year, right?
Second of the overall year. It was a little bit surprising, but if Michigan State was going to sweep an opponent, it was going to be Wisconsin.
Definitely.
I mean, they are just not good this year.
Okay.
Meanwhile, Michigan, in a critical series, got it started against the Minnesota Golden Gophers last night at Mariucci, 6-2 whitewash.
Players, Kyle steals, Deke shoots, scores! Minute to go on the advantage for Michigan. Mott, they score! Kyle has his second of the night. Shearhorn stops them both. Another drive coming, and on the rebound they score. It looks like it's the hat trick for Alex Kyle.
Alex Kyle with the hat trick, 3 goals for him on the night. Super freshman Kyle Connor got 2 more goals for Michigan as well. The Wolverines now move into first place in the Big Ten standings with 1 more game against the Gophers tonight on the Big Ten Network. But Michigan can't sleep on this one. They need to get a win or at least take 2 points. Otherwise, Minnesota could, with a win, will tie Michigan for the Big Ten standings and hold serve because Minnesota has the easier schedule down the stretch than Michigan does.
Wow, and that 6-2 from Michigan last night. That's a good Wolverine team. That's a really good Wolverine team.
It's really good. They're Frozen Four team, I feel, Al.
Definitely. All right, take us to the pros.
To the pros, Red Wings Avalanche alumni game is tonight leading up to the stadium series out in Coors Field, as you mentioned earlier in your show. That'll be on 7 p.m. tonight. Fox Sports Detroit. Should be interesting, you know. I think we may see a little bit of a fake fight or something on there. I mean, you remember all
those... A fake fight? I thought all those fights had happened in hockey.
Well, these are all older guys now, okay. Al. But, although not that old, but still, I mean, you remember those games. Avalanche, Red Wings going hard at each other.
Right, right.
Good stuff. Meanwhile, a little bit of controversy. The Montreal Canadiens have apologized earlier this week after racial slurs slowed up on their Twitter feed. To celebrate getting over 1 million followers, the Canadian launched an automated campaign where if you tweeted hashtag Canadians MTL1M, you would get an automated response that sent you with a Habs jersey with your Twitter handle on it that basically said, welcome to the family. However, some internet punks, if you will, decided to tweet with offensive Twitter handles, like, for example, at I Love ISIS.
Oh, no.
So, you know, and it got past the profanity filter, and things just went down the rails. The Montreal Canadiens apologized, said it was a third party that kind of dropped the ball in this out. Why is it that all on these Twitter, you know, scandals or controversies, it's always a third party?
I'm telling you, that's a PR nightmare, by the way, as well.
Oh, for sure.
Oh, my goodness. All right, Jason, how can people follow you, my man? Thank you.
At @Jason_R_Ruff for everything pro, college, Big Ten, you name it.
I tell you what, he's the king of the ice, folks. Jason Ruff. All right, let's wrap up this week here on WKAR's Current Sports with Reflection Friday. All right, really briefly here, as we invite, of course, our engineer of WKAR's Current Sports, Isaac Constance. Jason will join us with this conversation as well as our other PA, Seth Kinker. He's in the house as well. For me, I only got a few here. I'm seeing breaking news here that the Redskins are tagging former Michigan State quarterback, now quarterback with the Washington Redskins, Kirk Cousins, with either the franchise tag or transition tag. A source tells that to ESPN's. Yeah, I know, right? Gotta like that, right? That's coming from ESPN's Adam Schefter. Also, Colin Kaepernick. I'm wondering if this kid will, this man, I should say, not a kid, will get another shot somewhere with another NFL team. He is requesting that the San Francisco 49ers trade him. So, also, Grayson Allen needs to sit out at least one game. Fool me once, but fool me twice? Come on, dude. That ain't no mistake, man. He needs to sit out one, at least one game here. That's just dirty.
Isaac, I'm with you. That's a perfect transition into mine. I was going to say Grayson Allen as well, but you did a great job covering that. So I'm going to go to the World Cup and FIFA. Gianni Infantino is the new FIFA World President. It's a big deal. Hopefully they can get corruption out of this beautiful sport and restore it to its full glory.
All right, Seth Kinker. First off, Seth, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
How you doing, my man?
Good, how are you?
What you got for us?
I was just going to reflect on Stan Van Gundy's great choice of adding Tobias Harris. They're 2-0 weak, and he's pretty looked very comfortable since joining the team.
What does he bring to the table?
He can create his own shot. He's had a couple games since he's joined where he's shot off the charts, but our leading scorer just been really efficient for us.
Definitely. He's been fantastic. I see what people were saying, you know, when looking at his scouting report, that he is a scorer. He is a bona fide scorer for the
Pistons.
Creates
his own shot, more than just a stretch four.
Love him. Great move there. A little salty about the other trade not going through, but hey, I like Tobias Harris a lot. Jason, what do you got for us?
We got one more. This is a breaking NHL trade that happened
last night. Why would it be any other sport? Right.
The Blackhawks get Andrew Ladd's coming back to the Windy City. Andrew Ladd, former Winnipeg Jets captain, won the Cup with the Blackhawks in 2010. Blackhawks looking to make a move to go deep in the Stanley Cup playoffs.
Also, I got one more here. I'm just seeing this on ESPN. But Joe Johnson to the Cavs? Yeah.
I like that.
Joe Johnson, as he waits to clear waivers, the Cleveland Cavaliers, LeBron James star, the star of the Cleveland Cavaliers, I should say, LeBron James, he let his interest be known in the 7-time All-Star. So, yeah, they want Joe Johnson. We'll see if that goes through. All right, folks. Well, that wraps up today's and this week's WKAR's Current Sports. You have been listening to Current Sports with me, Al Martin, right here on WKAR AM 870 East Lansing. We'll be back at it same time, same place, right here. Don't miss Monday's show. We'll have a lot to talk about as we recap this weekend in sports. All right, folks, take care. Have a great weekend. Be safe and be easy, people.